excited. We'd like to welcome each of us here today. If you just walked in, we just wrapped up our morning Bible study. We're about to enter into the hour of worship. Before we do that, I have just a couple of quick things we'd like to announce. As I mentioned, we do have several members who are away from us right now. Tony was called to work this morning. My understanding is that Courtney is still out of town. Mark Nevin is also out working this morning. We do have a few members who are ill and away from us as well. Lori had to step out this morning. Her back was bothering her. Stacy is also ill and at home today.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to the gospel meeting. Great to be with them. Heavenly Father, we pray for those of our members who are not well this morning. Pray that you give them peace. We pray especially for our sister Judy Reed, who recovered from heart surgery. Pray that you give them courage and care for her family this morning. We also pray for our sister Pam Bays and her mother also. Heavenly Father, Pam has suffered from cancer. Pray that you be with her and her mother this time, her family. Terrible time. Also, we pray for the Williams family and the Legate family as well. But watch over them. Let your mercy and your love and your grace be upon us. The Heavenly Father, we know that this life seems full of peril, and we also know that your will be done in all things. And we pray for focus on the study this morning and the Bible study and our worship. We pray that we can always stay focused on what's important in our lives. To that degree, Lord, we try our very best and for the most important thing in our daily lives. We're thankful for your Son, Jesus, his willingness to come upon this earth to teach us how to live our life, provide that perfect example for us, and most of all, provide that perfect sacrifice on the cross for our sin. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful this day for our visitors who came our way. Pray that you bless us, give us a safe journey. Pray that you be with us, Lord. Pray that we'll always be a peculiar and special dedicated to you. And we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name.
The song we'll sing before we observe the Lord's Supper is song number 203.
This bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. That is a passage that Paul was penned many years ago in writing to the church of Corinth, giving instructions that he had received on how the Lord wished to be remembered, Jesus, his death and suffering from the cross. We talked about that this morning a little bit, and indirectly when we were talking about the Spirit of truth. There are many different ways that the world chooses to remember Jesus. But as I just read, these are his instructions to those who follow him. How he wished to be remembered on the first day of the week, here we are at this time to do just that. Father, we humble ourselves before you, thanking you for this first day of the week and the opportunity as your children to surround this table, to reflect our minds back upon the time when Jesus endured the cruel and agonizing death on the cross, that he could offer to mankind the opportunity to redeem of his sins, to have his sins forgiven. For those who would obey his word in their obedience to him. Father, we are so grateful for this memorial that we instituted, that as we contemplate our lives and we think about the great suffering and the great tremendous price that you are willing to pay, Lord, we redeem mankind. We are humbled by it, Father, and we ask now that as we partake of this bread, that we will do it in a way that we can please you. We might remind you of the death of Jesus and what it means to us. We ask this of Jesus, we ask that you will bless us as we take this bread, that we do it in the manner that you prescribe. We ask this of Jesus, we will do it. Amen.
Father, we come to you at this time, thanking you for the memorial that's been left behind for us to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus. You loved us so much, you were willing to go through all that pain and suffering that we went through on our behalf. At this time, dear Father, we protect the fruit of the vine which so fittingly represents this blood, his shed blood. May we do so in a manner pleasing unto thee, in accordance with thy will, forgiveness of the sins. Father Jesus, your name.
also being the first day of the week, you have an opportunity to lay by and store this past week a portion of our earnings. And we want to point out to our visitors that you are our honored guests for not soliciting your money without. Father, we come our thanks for you, thanking you for this opportunity now that we have to give back a portion of material blessings that we have earned this past week. We're so grateful, Father, for giving us the ability and opportunity to allow to make a living for our family. Now, Father, we wish to return a portion of that to you to work in this local congregation to continue to serve. We ask, Father, that you help us that we do so with purpose.
Mark in your songbook, the mark number song 444. Put it up there just in case you forget it or keep it place. Song number 744 will be our song invitation after the lesson. Once you mark that page, turn with me to song number 684. Number 684. Convenient, would you please stand and we'll sing this song?
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? From heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
today, and Dan Mander, Chuck's away. Paducah today, starting a meeting that'll run through Thursday. And then I'm preaching this morning, and Dan preaching this afternoon. So, both thank you for being here today. You want to turn to Luke chapter 10. We'll use this as a backdrop for our lesson today. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. And I couldn't help it this morning for our Bible classes, but Aaron and all the comments just stepping all over my sermon this morning. This is more like Bible class part two almost from this morning. We're going to look at Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42, and look at, help us focus this morning. This can be our backdrop talking about distractions and focus. And I love, as warm as it is up here, that's a hard thing to do now anyway. You know, it's kind of stuffy in here. But we're here all for one thing, and that's to learn more about God's will for us. So let's start in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his words. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So this scene that we see here with Martha and Mary inviting Jesus into their home, we're going to look at that today about focusing on what's important, and not so much what's urgent. We have so many things in our lives today that are urgent, but we want to not lose our focus on what's really important. So, several months ago, I was visiting with my neighbors. They were watching a television show about a man tightrope walking over Niagara Falls. So I asked Kelsey and TJ, "What's the show about?" And they said, "So there's a scene, you know, live show. This man is on a tightrope with a big bar going all the way across Niagara Falls. And, you know, it looks like it's raining because it's Niagara Falls. But the guy is doing this, just walking across night, camera drawn, you know, and he's got no net below him. And he's balancing winds swirling around him and all that. I thought, hey, that would be a good lesson to think about. But all the things that go on around us, yet we're still trying to focus on what's going on as a Christian. When the whole world around us is screaming, "Hey, look at me," you know, taking your eyes off the prize. So that's what we want to focus on today. So there's, you know, we think of all of us probably, or a lot of us do, most of us have a cell phone, right? Think of it. What did I do without before I had a cell phone? But the cell phone is, you know, can be such a distraction from what you're trying to do. There's so many people today that they're driving, they're texting, or you see, you know, nobody's texting until they get to the stoplight, and then everybody pops up with, you know, their cell phone, and then they're texting while they're driving. You know, that it takes us away from our focus. Our focus is to arrive where we're going safely so that we don't, you know, have a wreck. So while we're trying to multitask and talk to people and text people and, you know, think of other things, listen to the radio, you know, we're taking our eyes off the main thing we want to do. The main thing we want to do is get to our destination safely. We want to take a look today now at Mary and Martha and kind of glean some things from them and this example that we looked at. So we saw Mary was sitting at Jesus' So Martha was the one who invited him into their house. So Martha had made preparations. It sounded like Martha was kind of the instigator of getting Jesus to the house. But Mary was there, sitting there listening to Jesus. So you see Martha, she's off scurrying around trying to get everything ready for, you know, the preparation for meal or whatever. And Mary's the one sitting there focused on, this is Jesus. This is Jesus Christ that's in my house. And I'm sitting here listening what he's saying. So she was focused on what was importance. So she took the things that are urgent. You know, there's so many things that scream at us now, now, now. You know, maybe your neighbor shows up on your doorstep right before you go to services on Sunday morning. You know, you're thinking, well, I've got to go. There's an urgent, my neighbor's here, my doorstep, I have to do something. You know, that's the important thing is go to services. You can tell your neighbor, hey, I'll talk to you when I get back. This isn't really pressing. But we don't want to take the things that seem to be urgent and let them overshadow what's important and lose our focus on those kind of things. Let's remember Luke chapter 9, verse 59 through 62. Let's turn there. Just a few pages over. Luke 9, 59 through 62. And Jesus speaking here in verse 59, he said to another, follow me, but he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to those in my home. Verse 62, but Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. So the urgent matters that these people saw at this time was, do I need to go bury somebody and then I'll follow you? Or I need to say goodbye to my family first and then I'll go follow you. So they're looking at the things that are causing them to stray away from what's important. And what we saw from Mary knew what was important. I need to sit here and listen to Jesus. Jesus is here in my house. You know, his pillow was a rock. So how comfortable do you think Jesus needed to be in the house? Right? He doesn't need a red carpet rolled out for him in the house. He's there in their house as a guest, and he's speaking, and she's wanting to listen. What's he going to say? She's just hanging on every word. But we see Martha, on the other hand, so Martha planned on doing a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing to have somebody over, isn't it? Right? It's a good thing to be hospitable. That's what she was doing. But she was so scurrying around and planning on, what am I going to do when Jesus is here? What's the house going to look like? What am I going to cook? What am I going to, all these things that I need to do. She wasn't focused on, this is Jesus is here. You know, I need to take advantage of this opportunity. And then she says, I think it's in, verse 40, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me. So she actually thought that Jesus was going to get up from talking to Mary and start and ask her, you need to go help your sister. You know, she needs some help. I'm here to talk, but you need to go help her because what she's doing is more than what you are. Martha just had the wrong focus at all. And she's saying, no, you care about me. And Jesus is saying, no, you should be caring about me. I'm here. You should be listening to me. And she's too worried about all those things that are going on about her. I think we look at we have a problem utilizing our time wisely. I mentioned with, you know, the cell phones, with DVRs, and, you know, all those kind of modern appliances. We just have so many different things that we can do to multitask that takes our focus away from, you know, what's important. Yesterday, I was at Kennedy ball game with my cell phone doing my Ecclesiastes lesson, you know, trying to do all these things at one time because, well, I have the ability to, right? You watch TV, you stop it, you go do something else, you come back and forth. We have all these niceties that allow us to do all these things, but sometimes it takes us away from the focus of what are we trying to do and what are we trying to accomplish here. Let's look at some other biblical individuals who didn't have the proper focus, and let's see what happened to them. A few pages over, let's look at Luke chapter 18, rich young ruler, 18 through 23. We all know the account here of the rich young ruler, verse 18. The ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept in my youth. And
Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. So it's already warm up here, so I'm not going to lose my focus. So he was extremely rich, and didn't have his focus on what was important, which was following Jesus. I mean, and Jesus didn't change and said, well, I know you're really rich. You got a lot of things that you're doing, so why don't you just go sell a few of those things, and then when you have time, you can come follow me. And then when you don't have, if you follow me for a while, if you got some other things calling you back at your rich ranch, you can go back there and do that. And just when you have time to follow me, you can follow me then. Jesus didn't change the story. The story was, you know, that what's important is that you come follow me, and then he said, I've got so many things going on, I just can't do that. The rich young ruler had the wrong focus. The focus should have been on, he had this opportunity to follow Jesus, and because of all this worldly things, the things that are going on around him, in his life, he decided not to do that. Let's look at Peter in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, verses 28 through 30. This is when Jesus tells Peter to come to him walking on the water, Matthew chapter 14, 28 through 30. Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you have little faith, why did you doubt? So Peter had a focus. He was looking at Jesus. He had a concentration on it. But then, with the wind blowing and everything else, he took his eye off of Jesus and he started to sink. He lost his bearings on what was important. He could have done that had he had concentration. The ability was there. He was walking on the water, but then he looked away, and because he took his eye off Jesus and he started to doubt, he started to sink. So he lost his focus on what was really important and let other things get in the way, and because of that, he wasn't successful. Let's look at Lot's wife in Genesis from the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 19, verse 36. So we know in account of Lot and his wife, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were told to hurry out of the city, and in verse 26 of chapter 19, let's go back to 24, the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the city and what grew on the ground. But his wife, from behind him, looked back, she became a pillar of salt. So they were told not to look back when they left the city. You know, focus on getting out of town. The fire and brimstone is raining down on the city. You know, leave, just like when if your house was on fire. You don't want to turn around, you want to get out. You know, nothing behind you is as important as your life. And she lost her focus, and because of that, you know, she lost her life. So the examples to us here is that we're here for one reason. The reason we're here is because we want to learn more about what we can do to get to heaven. So we talked this morning about singing songs in worship. Some of these songs we can sing without even looking at the book. We know the words, we've sung them so long, and sometimes they can lose the meaning because we're not focusing on what we're doing. We're here worshiping. We're not here singing to us. We're here worshiping God. And so those words that we sing, you know, we could recite, you know, with our eyes closed. They should mean something to us still when we're singing those in praise to God. We shouldn't lose our focus on, you know, the things that are going on around us. I mean, always, I've had the opportunity to, for whatever reason, to kind of sit towards the front of the worship service. And I appreciate when, you know, we had smaller children, we sat towards the back because children were more of a distraction, and we didn't want to be a distraction to people in front and those kind of things. But it takes a lot of, it takes effort to put forth. When everything around you is saying, look at me,
called this to concentrate on what the game said. It's, you know, the difficult thing is that, but that's our task. I mean, that's what we have to do in this life. So, you know, how can we, sometimes we neglect the important thing, we lose our focus on heaven. Here's some things that we can look at that might be something that we've done in the past or somebody else, you know, has told us, well, I've done this particular thing that caused me to lose focus. So sometimes our Bible reading might be neglected because we have urgent things to do. So we do something else instead of reading our Bible like we should because we're not focusing on learning more about God's will. Our prayer life sometimes might be almost non-existent because we're too busy to pray. So, you know, we might have certain times we pray, but then there's a lot of other times when we should be praying, we should be giving thanks. Things that are important to us, there's no specific time we can pray. We can pray, God leaves that to us. We can pray anytime we have anything on our mind. We neglect the assembling of the Christians sometimes because we have so much things. There's so many things to do. Well, if I don't have something better to do, then I'll be at service. The teaching time we have neglected because we don't spend our time with our children like we should. We've all done, you know, we've all been there. Parents and children sometimes think, you know, I should spend more time just studying this, but I was off busy doing something else. It's just the things that we have to do to rein in our thoughts and to teach like we should. You know, and sometimes if we haven't checked our email, I mean, I don't know about a lot of you, but, you know, whether it's your work email, your personal email, but if you've gone for some length of time without checking and worrying about, oh, I know there's something out there on Facebook, you know, what's out there that's begging my attention, you know, screaming to me, hey, you have to do something. Versus the time that we spend on, you know, looking at our Bible. How much time have you typically, you know, kind of charted that on a daily basis or even on a weekly basis? You took, you know, I worked 40 hours, I did this, I did this, I did this. You know, down here at the bottom, it might be, this is how much time I spent praying, or this is how much time I spent studying. Because we have all these other things that seem to want to take our time. We only pray sometimes in circumstances of need versus being thankful. Or thinking about the things that we need to pray for, regardless of whether it's a need or not. And sometimes TJ and I were talking about this the other night about, you know, having to work. Sometimes we say, I have to work, but the choice is, I elected to work for myself. So that if, you know, we might be in a position where you know, I could leave if I want to, but I'm going to work a little bit extra because it's my choice to do that. And I could be there. Well, it really could be there. You just made a choice didn't want to. So there's only one thing that's necessary that Jesus said to Martha. So we go back here and look at our text in Luke. Luke chapter 10, where we started. Jesus talked about this. Jesus said to Martha in verse 41, you know, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. So the one thing that was necessary was that listening to him, Jesus was the focus there. So sitting at the feet of Jesus was the only pressing need. So that was the important thing. Yet Martha couldn't get it out of her head. I've got to do all these other things, and then I can go listen to Jesus. So all these urgent things that she thought she had to do, they're not important. And I don't know if a lot of you, maybe if you work, you've seen kind of the matrix that says, you know, here's important things and urgent and non-urgent but important. You kind of have to prioritize where things should go, what blocks they should go. And, you know, the things that are pressing for us, you know, if your house is on fire, that's an urgent matter. Right? You have to deal with that. But some things that are urgent in our lives take our focus off. This is what's important, and I need to get rid of all these other things that are clouding at my focus on going to heaven. I think if you can remember that tie that Chuck's used before, and I think I've used it before also, is that where we have the
people. Sitting at Jesus' feet, she's not listening to anything outside. She's some sort of weirdo, right? Because she's only focusing on Jesus. And Martha's over here on the other extreme, and she's just focusing on all these things that are very important. But so you got these two extremes here, and I think the world wants us to think, well, you don't have to be either one of those. You could be somebody in the middle, and you're a little bit of a Christian, and you're a little bit of the world. You can do both, but you really can't. I mean, anything short of being a Mary is being a Martha. Because the focus is on the important thing is get to heaven. All the rest of that stuff, anywhere else in between, is not going to work for us. We're going to lose our focus. And we talked about today, worshiping idols and those kind of things that take us away from that. It's going to easily distract us. That if we're not always pointing towards heaven for my home and the rest of the stuff, it will take care of itself. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 2, and this will be our final verse for this morning. Be very patient. I don't know if any of you are perspiring back there, but it's pretty warm up here. Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 2. Let's go back to verse 1, and we'll end in verse 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, fixing our eyes on Jesus, not taking our eyes off of him. That's where our focus should be. But whether we're a Christian or not, we all have the same opportunity. If you're you are a Christian, you've had that opportunity, you took advantage of it. If you're not a Christian, you haven't taken advantage of the opportunity to be sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his words, listening to him, the story that he paved the way for us. He died on the cross of Calvary for us, gave his life for Warren, for Tony, for Mark, for Janet, for Mark, for Ellen, for you individually. And it should mean something to you, as you know, as an individual, that this person cared about me so much that he died for me. And what are you going to do about it now? We talked about this morning in class, and Aaron, you know, it's your choice. Now it's up to you. What are you going to do with Jesus? So if you have the opportunity, you have the need to come forward, we ask you to do that now. If you're a brother that's sinned, please come forward now. Make your life right now. There's no other opportunity like right now. Please do so.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record will see. Someday you'll answer the question of why. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your for your love, your mercy, and your grace.
your son who is still on your thumb and suffering and dying across so that he may have the opportunity that he has. We know that there's much work needed on our part. We pray that we always look to you and your words and your guidance. We pray that you forgive us when we ask and that we may do that time to time when needed. We come to you in prayer and ask you to forgive us of our sin. And that's all we can do.
Thank you.